Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Let's bring in our next guest. He is Kevin Weeks. Thanks for this, Kev. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you guys doing out there? Everybody doing well?
Oh, we're doing awesome, man. We're into the thick of silly season, you know? Trade talks and who are we signing on free agency day? I mean, this is going to be a busy week with the draft and free agency upcoming.
Yeah, certainly will be. A lot of activity, and, you know, I'd anticipate the market should be wide open for that activity. A lot of different things happening behind the scenes. I think, you know, different teams that I've spoken with, different ownership groups are approaching it in ways that they feel are best for their team. But all that to say, there's certainly a glut of players that could be on the move, especially projecting with the flat salary cap for the next 2 years at $81.5 million at the ceiling. So I'd anticipate we're going to see a lot, and I'm surprised we haven't seen more yet to this point, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, and I think we've all been waiting for it, but we're just kind of twiddling our thumbs until it happens. Kevin, here in Vancouver, with the recent news and Elliot Friedman reporting that Boston and Vancouver are on Oliver Ekman-Larsson's list about teams he would explore going to, the question that's coming up with Oliver Ekman-Larsson is, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, this guy was putting up 20 goals a season, but where is he at right now? What's your answer to that question?
There's been some depreciation in his game. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, he's, for the most part of his career, he's been very steady in Arizona. And ironically, there's been a lot of turmoil there over the years. You know, a lot of different turbulence in terms of ownership groups and uncertainty and what the long-term future looks like, stuff with the city of Glendale around the arena. And there's been tons of transition. So I think him being their longest tenured player, to this point, not named Shane Doan, but certainly their longest tenured player among this current group, it's probably been a challenging time. I can't speak on his behalf, but there have been so many unknowns. His, you know, he was 38 points this year, kind of off. He's a point every other game, but based on a player of his skill, you know, I thought maybe a 45 to 47 point range would have been more indicative of the player that he's been. -3 rating isn't crazy, but I just think overall, that's a delicate one because you guys talked about, you know, the Canucks in Boston being on the list of teams that he would potentially going to, obviously, or be open to going to nonetheless. And all that to say, he has that no move. So what does that no move look like? And, you know, I think if you guys are looking at maybe his peak season, he had 55 points in his peak season, which would have been in 2015, 2016. So if we're hot stoving, which we are, here in the offseason, do I think he could be a fit in Van? Potentially, but then, I mean, I'd be wondering how much salary Arizona is going to retain. You know, if I'm Jim Benning, I'd want, you know, I'm not paying the full freight at 8.25 for the next 7 years or 6 years of what he has remaining on his contract. I mean, that's certainly a large number. And if you're, you know, if you're considering how you're going to allocate those dollars by way of the salary cap, I mean, Markstrom, it's a guy that's proven for you guys who had an amazing year, and he's thrived out in the Pacific Northwest. He was an all-star. So maybe is the train of thought, well, maybe we can get a comparable performance from Thatcher Demko, who was money for you guys as well. Maybe. So then maybe do you go the route of Thatcher Demko and take that savings on him and then get another veteran goalie in the market that can come in and play, of which there are many. And I don't know, now at your position, maybe you're spending 4 instead of 7 or 7.5 that it might take to maintain Markstrom. Then if I'm not going to pay Markstrom, do I really want to allocate 8.25 to Ekman-Larsson? I think that becomes the question. So I'd be curious to see where that goes.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the hot stove season is picking up for sure, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson is in the crosshairs given Arizona wants him out, and it seems wants to find a trade partner for him right now. Another player we get talked about a lot and asked about a lot is PK Subban, Kevin, and you know he didn't have the greatest of first years in New Jersey. Just from an overall perspective, if you're a GM, would you be willing to take a chance on PK Subban if he was available in trade right now?
I think that's team specific. That'll be a team specific thing because you have to look at where your areas of strength are or where are areas that you can improve or where you're really content with how your team is at this point. But all that to say, you know, I've known him a long time since he came to my camp as a 4-year-old back home in Toronto. And He's had incredible success, say, for these last 2 years, but this past year was, you know, a pretty big underperformance in knowing him and knowing the level that he was at as a player. And, you know, a minus 21, I think he finished in Jersey this year. That's a tough season. And that's a tough season on a team that was, you know, toward the bottom end of the league in terms of the standings. So, and he too has another 9 years remaining. So I don't know, in Jersey to this point, when they got him from Nashville, they paid the entire nine. So nine for this past season here that just finished, and the upcoming two, they're on the hook for nine for both of those years and that commitment. So I don't really know. I mean, when he was at his best, he was hyper-focused, his workouts, he was in great shape. He was one of the best players on the earth. He was one of the best defensemen in the league. He's a Norris Trophy winner. He's a Norris Trophy finalist a couple other times. And his commitment to his craft and his excellence was, and I know this firsthand, having, you know, been close with him at that time, it was through the roof. And now he's, you know, he has other interests and he's trying to diversify and get into other things. And I don't really know that really lends itself to him being the best player that he can be to when he was at his peak as a player, right? And if I think of players that I played with that are Hall of Fame players, whether it's Marty St. Louis or Dave Andrechuk or Roberto Luongo to be, or Henrik Lundqvist to be, Martin Brodeur, any of those players, like, they were insanely 24-hour people around hockey and everything around hockey. And they were fully committed. And that's how PK was. But at this point, he's developed some other interests, which is certainly his, you know, that's within his right. But I'm not necessarily so sure that at the full freight of nine for the next 2 years, this upcoming season, the following one, I'm not necessarily sure that that would be a prudent move for the Canucks right now, but they would have to know. But if you're talking about the Canucks specifically, I'm not necessarily sure that that would be the most prudent move or the best way that they can allocate their dollars per se.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network. And Kevin, in the last 24 hours, the big news has been Henrik Lundqvist, and he's bought out in New York. You know him very well. You backed him up for a couple of years in New York City with the Rangers. First of all, just the guy behind the scenes, I've heard he's very intense, but committed to his craft, like some of those guys that you mentioned previously. Just what was it like to back up King Henrik?
I mean, right from the outset, I knew that he was just, you know, he was so different. He looked different in the net. And for any of the goalie aficionados that are tuning in out there in Van or wherever they're tuning in from, he just looked different in the net. So when you saw him play and when you saw his stance, everything was different. And by that, he had like a wide stance, the way his pads overlapped. If you're standing in behind him and you're looking at his skates, it's almost as though his ankles were rotated outwards, which then put him kind of on his outside edges. It was really, really different. And the way he strapped his pads, everything was so different than I'd seen. And all that to say, he was just money. Like, right from training camp, he was money. Like, he was incredible. Like, the first time I saw him, and when we were in camp, like, oh my God, this guy. And I had heard from guys that were playing over in Sweden during our work stoppage lockout year of 04-05, NHL guys at the time, that are like, we see this guy, like, you got to see him. Like, I think this guy's going to be the best Swedish goalie in the NHL, like, in the history of the league, I think. And he certainly lived up to that. And, you know, he just took the league by storm. He took our team by storm. We were expecting to make to be last, really, to not make the playoffs and be 30th in the league. And we ended up making the playoffs, you know, those 2 years, his first 2 years, largely on the strength of how well he played and the closeness of our team. But he was just electric, literally, like, electric, to take over our team, to take over Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world, to play in New York and in that city, in that market, and deliver with his name on the marquee all the time. And his preparation and attention to detail, you know, a lot of people look at him and they looked at the suits and they look at his hair cut before he had the Rod Stewart cut when he first came out, and this, you know, the European tailored suits and everything else. And as he got more successful, people saw, you know, the Ferraris and the Dior suits and whatever else. But what people don't know is that guy worked as hard as anybody in logging in BC that works 14-hour shifts, honestly. So we would go on the ice early with our goalie coach, Benoit Lair, who's still there, one of the best goalie coaches in the league. And we go on the ice early before practice even started. And we'd get our work in and do our goalie-specific drills long before that was a thing. And for some of you in Van, you know, if you're close to the team, you would have seen Roberto Luongo have that same approach, which is part of what made him great as well. So even long after the success, long after the contract, long after red carpet stuff, literally, I was talking to two people from the Rangers yesterday, and they said as of like 2 days ago, Henrik was skating at the practice facility on his own and doing drills. So that's part of what makes him so great. And to answer you lastly, quickly, when you talked about his competitive flyer, yeah, the odd time I had to talk to him about that, especially when he first came in the league. But it's something that served him well, and I think he's fifth or not sixth all time in terms of wins. So he'll go down as one of the greatest goalies in NHL history, and if he continues to keep playing, I think he can find a suitor, perhaps a la Colorado, Avalanche maybe, and or if he decides to do something different, I'm sure he'll have success in whatever he does going forward.
So you think he'd still have a pretty good impact if he were to stick around for another year, eh?
Totally. I've seen him, like, I've been in the garden, you know, depending on my work schedule, my honor schedule, which is heavy, but I try to get to the garden about 10 times, 12 times a season for games. And, you know, this season I probably saw him play about 5 or 6 of those. And save for one game, he looked like himself. Like, he, you know, you don't forget how to play. And are you expecting him in a regular season to play 60 games? Certainly not. But if I'm a team that, you know, if I'm looking at him as a 1A or a guy that can play 35 or 40% of our game and then can kick in the playoffs and give us a chance on a low contract number, I mean, why would you not? I think it's a very prudent move on behalf of a team if you're very clear with him in terms of what his role is. And if you treat him with respect too, like for everything he's accomplished in the game, for everything he's, you know, not only for Sweden back home that he's done, but for our sport and for our league and being the charitable person that he is, and him and his wife, Therese, and everything that they've done in the community and stuff. I mean, it's second to none that way. So you'd have to treat him with the respect that he deserves. But if you're honest and transparent with him about what the role could be and you treat him properly, you know, I think he can play another couple of years if he chooses to, for sure.
It's going to be a weird and wacky offseason because, you know, the draft and free agency and all of that. But when we're talking about the goalie position specifically, Kevin, there's going to be a lot of turnover, isn't there?
I anticipate that. I've been saying this for a while, and now people are coming out and saying the same thing. And I mean, listen, I've spoken to probably 5 guys on this trade board or on this for hire board, if you will, that will be available that are goalies in the league. From, you know, younger guys to veteran guys to Craig Anderson today, I was texting with earlier today. And there should be, put it this way, if a team has a need to upgrade their position and they don't upgrade their position after this offseason, then somebody's going to have to account for something. Because there are so many guys in the marketplace. So, you know, whether it's Markstrom with you guys, does he stay, does he not? Is it Thomas Greiss from the Islanders, who's played exceptionally well for them? Is it Anton Khudobin, who carried the Dallas Stars all the way through the postseason, who played more hockey than he's ever played before in his career, who's always been highly respected and always been very good, but now took his game to a whole different level, and consequently the perception of him as a goalie is now increased in the marketplace. He's another person. Henrik Lundqvist, we were talking about, is a person. Mike Smith up in Edmonton, for the most part, played well, save for the playoffs, and he was really good for them last year in Calgary. Cam Talbot, who flip-flopped with him, who went from the Flames to the Oil, from the Oil to the Flames, Cam Talbot played exceptionally well for them too. So there's a lot of supply in the market. There should be enough demand to match that. Unfortunately, some guys might be left without a seat. Keep an eye also on what's going to happen in Vegas with Marc-Andre Fleury. For whatever reason, Pete DeBoer has kind of chosen Robin Lehner as his guy, and Robin Lehner's been great, but Marc-Andre Fleury is still a Hall of Fame goalie, a lock, and a Hall of Fame person too. So could they work something out to move him? And then what also happens in Toronto? Like, they already paid Freddie Anderson, who overall has been great for them. He's not the reason that they haven't been able to get through in the postseason. I think that falls on the collective, right? And now the Leafs paid him his bonus, and now he's only on the hook for $1 million this upcoming season relative to hockey salaries, of course, so, which is beyond a bargain. I mean, that's almost entry-level salary. So does he stay or did the Leafs make a move? I think there are going to be a lot of different moving parts this offseason for goalies.
From a Canucks perspective, obviously Jacob Markstrom is still a priority, but you know, if he does move on, he gets a bigger offer somewhere else. The plan is to move forward with Thatcher Demko, who was great in the playoffs, no denying that, but you're committing to a young goaltender that hasn't been through the grind of being the number one guy in the course of a regular season. How much of a risk is that for the Canucks? Should that be the road they go down?
I mean, listen, you're always going to have to live with some growing pains, right? Everybody has a day one, and we all have our training wheels and whatever it is we do in life or life itself. And sometimes it takes going through that and getting some lumps. But I can tell you, ever since Thatcher Demko was at Boston College and my former teammate Ryan Johnson, who does such an amazing job with the Canucks and their prospects, you know, he's been raving. He hasn't been wrong on anybody he's talked to me about. So he told me about Elias Pettersson. He's like, just wait until you see this guy. Wait, just wait. Well, I've seen him. He told me about Thatcher Demko. He's like, wait and wait. And, you know, I've obviously watched him at Boston College and everything else. And obviously he was really good in Utica, and the Canucks have done a great job developing. And now I see him and the rest is history. Same thing he told me about Quinn Hughes. So I'm not really worried about Thatcher Demko if Markstrom isn't there at all. He's proven that he has the ability to play on the big stage and elevate his game. And he's a really good young man and he loves the game. And he didn't have the easiest path of getting to the NHL as well. Like, something a lot of you Canucks fans out there might not know is at times, this is a guy that was taking public transit sometimes when his mom wasn't able to take him to games to get to the rink growing up in California. Like, as a goalie, imagine being whatever age, 11, 12, 13, you know, riding the transit there in van with your goalie gear to get to the rink. Like, you can't be any more dedicated than that. So that just goes to show you who he is kind of in terms of his makeup. But I look at that marketplace, some of those aforementioned guys, Cam Talbot, who you guys would have seen a lot about West for the last few years since he left the Rangers, he could be a potential suitor there. Or do you bring in, you know, does Mike Smith come in? Do you bring in Craig Anderson, who's now proven himself to really over his career been the best goalie the Sens have ever had in Ottawa in terms of longevity and how well he's played for them? Do you bring him there? Or can you convince Lundqvist to come there? I mean, can you get Peter Mrazek out of Carolina? Like, there are different guys that are going to be available. And I really think that Anton Khudobin would be a great one as well, just based on the person he is, based on how much the guys love playing in front of him, what type of a team leader he is and how he helps team chemistry and that sort of thing. So if they don't end up coming to a deal with Markstrom, which I think would be tough on both sides if they don't, just because both sides have been so good for each other. But if they don't, Thatcher Demko certainly has a really high ceiling, and you have to live with maybe the odd growing pain and given the opportunity to grow as a goalie and a young man. But I wouldn't be worried. I think Thatcher Demko is excellent, and he has huge potential, and there are some other good goalies in the marketplace that you can complement him with for sure.
Kev, appreciate the time as always, man. We'll be talking soon. It's going to be a fun week.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, and thanks to all you fans out there that tune in, all you great NHL fans. And, yeah, let's stay tuned. There's going to be a lot of activity, so appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks so much.